the screen, it will come up. Those words that are highlighted are for you to read. So I just want to let you know that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, now as we go into your word, we pray your Holy Spirit would come now and speak to us. We're excited to be here this morning. Excited about digging into your word and learning more about you. Excited about hearing your voice speaking to us. Excited about the life-changing opportunities that we will have here. Because you change everything. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the one who has changed us. Amen. God has a plan for this church. Did you know that? He does. He's got a plan for this church. Several years ago, God wanted us to build a new sanctuary, this sanctuary. We raised $300,000. We borrowed $750,000, and we put $50,000 back for a rainy day, if you will, for unexpected needs. God gave the elders at that time a dream of a new sanctuary. Now, did you know that faith works in a pathway, if you will, or a process? God grows our faith through a six-step process. First, he gives us a dream. Then we have to make a decision. Now, if you come to two roads, you have to make a decision which way to go, right? You either take this road or that road. You can't take both roads at the same time, or you either go to the hospital, if I go much further, or you will get nowhere. So you have to make a decision. Then there's a delay. Then there's difficulty. Then there seems to be a dead end. And then there's deliverance. We have gone through all of that through the time period of building this church and beginning to see the debt being paid down. We've gone through every phase of the faith process here. The elders stepped out on faith, trusted that God would meet the finances, and immediately we moved into the building and the Great Recession hit. Y'all remember that? The Great Recession. And I'm thinking, Lord, what have we done? What have we done? But look at what God has done. In approximately 12 months, we're going to be debt free. Look at what God has done. Through recession, through the downing of the economy, through people losing their jobs, God was faithful. And the elder stepped out on faith that he would provide the money that we needed to build this sanctuary. You know, the Bible talks a lot about faith versus doubt. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Faith versus doubt. Look at Mark 9, 17 through 74. What are you arguing with them about, he asked. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Now, this man needs a miracle. His son is in bad shape. Jesus' disciples can't heal him. And the man who had faith enough to bring his son to Jesus, now has got doubt. The disciples couldn't heal him. Can Jesus heal him? So he asked Jesus, if you can heal him. And Jesus says, what? If I can. You're asking me if I can? Anything, listen to this, anything is possible for one who believes. Anything is possible for one who believes. The man said, I do believe, but please help me with my unbelief. Now, there's been a lot made out of this statement. I believe, but help my unbelief. This man had just seen the disciples fail in healing his son. He believes in Jesus, but his faith is like that of a grain of mustard seed. And do you remember what Jesus said about a grain of mustard seed? He said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move from here to there. You can tell this problem in your life that was a mountain is now a molehill. There may be doubt, but he had enough faith to ask Jesus to heal his son. This man had just a little faith. He needed to see his son be healed. Now, I want you to remember the six phases of how God grows our faith. Number one, a dream. This man had a dream that his son would be healed. Number two, make a decision. He took his son to be healed. He had a delay. He had to wait while the disciples failed. Then it was difficulty. It seemed like it was going to be impossible. Then it was a dead end. They were arguing whether or not anyone could heal his son. And then there was deliverance. Finally, his faith was rewarded. That's the steps of faith, that steps of the process that God uses to grow our faith. When you are in a trial, if you've got problems in your life and God is taking you from a dream, an idea, he will grow your faith in these six steps of processes. So if you're in one of these steps, you should be able to say, I understand why I'm having this difficulty. God's going to grow my faith. I realize why it feels like a dead end. I know God's going to deliver me. There are six steps of how God grows our faith. Do you remember the story where Jesus went back to his hometown? He was teaching in the synagogue, and people were amazed at the commands that he had on the scripture, the way that he taught, the authority that he had. He spoke as if he was God. Oh, wait a minute, he is God. And they couldn't understand this. Oh my goodness, this guy teaches like we've never heard anybody teach before. He uses stories to bring in and help us to understand. No one has ever done things like that before. Man, we got it when he's teaching. We understand it when he's teaching. But yet, he's Mary's son. This guy is nothing more than Jimmy, a carpenter. A carpenter. This can't be the Messiah. He can't be God in the flesh. He's a nobody. And they wouldn't believe. They had no faith. And listen to what Jesus says. This is important. Listen. Jesus says, because of the lack of your faith. This is his hometown. He's gone back to his hometown. He's teaching in the synagogue. Because of your lack of faith, I can do nothing here but perform a few little miracles. Because of your lack of faith. You know the stories. Jesus healed a blind man, and he says, your what? What did he say? Your what has made you well? Your what? Your faith has made you well. He healed a man let down through the rafters. This is the only time he said, your sins are forgiven. And then he said, your what? Has made you well. He spit on the ground and anointed a man who had never had any eyes since birth. And he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And if he did, his what? Faith would make him well. I want to go back and look at James 1, 6-8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what?
Mature and complete.
Not what?
Lacking.
So God wants you to have a mature faith. Did you know that God is more concerned about your faith than he is your comfort? He wants you to have a mature faith so that you are a complete Christian and that you lack nothing. If any of you what? You should what? Who gives attention to all without finding fault and what? But when you ask, you must. James is saying, when you're going through temptations, when you got issues in life, when you have problems, here's what you need to do. You need to ask God for wisdom. what he's saying here. You need to ask God for wisdom. If you've got temptations that are bothering you, you need to ask God for wisdom on how to get around those temptations, to beat those temptations. If you've got a problem in your marriage, you need to ask God for wisdom. How do we heal this marriage? If you've got problems with your family, your children, Lord, we got problems with these kids. Help us. You need to ask God for wisdom. That's what he's saying here. Because we live in a broken world, God says, I want you to be mature and I want you to be complete. I want you lacking nothing to deal in the world that you're living in. So ask and I'll give it to you. Ask and I'll give it to you. And James says, if you do ask in faith, God will give you wisdom on how to deal with each issue that you have in your life. And from that, your faith grows. Make sense? Makes perfect sense. You got to go through trials and tribulations to be able to have the experience to understand what you're going to go through. God says, you ask God for the wisdom. He gives you the wisdom to be able to deal with those issues. When you step by it, now you've got that behind you. You've learned about it. You know how to handle it. Now you're on to the next one. It's over and over and over again. God is continuously trying to mature us as Christians. He wants us to be complete and lacking nothing. And then James says, here is why you need to ask God for wisdom. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person
should not expect to receive anything from the Lord.
Wow. Did you hear that? A person that has doubt, a person that has no belief, that person should what? Not expect anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Don't you just love our Lord? Isn't he awesome? He's awesome. He wants you to be able to handle every situation that you deal with in life like a professional. Like a professional. You're mature. You're complete. You got your PhD in how to handle life's problems through the wisdom of God. And he says, when you ask, ask in faith, and I'm going to give it to you. But if you doubt, if you're a doubter, you shouldn't expect anything from God. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. If this person goes to God and believes that the problem is even bigger than God can handle, they shouldn't expect to receive anything. And on top of that, as they're going through the problems of a broken world, they're going to be unstable. There'll be fear. There's going to be doubt. There's going to be mood swings. There's going to be bad days. And you know what there's going to be? Worry. You know what worry is? Somebody tell me what worry is. It's a lack of faith. That's what worry is. I can't control it. So if I can't control it and fix it, nobody can fix it. Worry is a lack of faith in God. Simple as that. So church, do you need a miracle in your life this morning? Do you need a miracle in your life this morning? I want to show you something I think is really powerful. I think it can change lives. It's changed my life. I think it can change your life. Are you ready? You remember the story of the blind men? They heard Jesus walking by. Don't know how they followed him, but the scripture says they followed him. I guess they were following his voice and the voice of the disciples. Jesus and the disciples go into what they believe is Peter's house, and these blind men don't stop. They just walk right on in. They just walk right on in. And look at this scripture. After Jesus had entered the house, the blind men came to him. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Which means heal them, he asked. Yes, Lord, they answered. Then he touched their eyes and said what?
According to your faith,
it will be done to you. Did you hear that? According to your faith, will it be done to you, or it will be done to you. Do you remember the centurion? He had a servant that was sick, and he asked for a healing, and Jesus said, your servant is healed according to your faith. It will be done to you. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you know what that means? It means you get to determine how much God blesses you. The amount of faith that you have, the more faith you have, the more that God blesses you. That's what God's Word says. He says, you ask, I'll do it. You believe, I'll bless. You see, God wants our faith to grow. He doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to have fear. He doesn't want us to have worry in our lives. He wants us to trust Him in every aspect of our life. There is nothing that God shouldn't be a part of in our life. Nothing. From finances, to choosing the right woman to marry or man to marry, to going to the right school, to taking the right job, even the things that you do as a hobby, God should be involved in. He wants us to trust Him in every aspect of our life. It means you get to determine how blessed you are by the amount of faith that you have. Wow. The more we trust, the more we're blessed. And I'm not talking about blessings as far as receiving millions of dollars. Don't think financially. Think spiritually. Think about having the wisdom to handle the world's problems. The wisdom to be able to not worry when things go wrong. The wisdom that you have when you've experienced something and now you're going on to something else and you know that God is in control and you don't have to worry about it because there's no problem bigger than the God that we have. The more we trust, the more He blesses. Jesus said, I come to give you life, but not just ordinary life. I come to give you what? Abundant life. You can't have abundant life if we worry and we doubt and we fear. That's not what God wants for us. Why would God want His children to doubt, worry, and fear? He doesn't. He wants us to trust Him. And the more we trust Him, the more we're blessed. Church, do you need a miracle today? According to your faith, may it be done to you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love You so much. And we thank You for Your Word. You are so awesome and so powerful. Father, help us to trust You more. Help us just to leave everything behind that we have that we doubt. And let us remember that there is nothing that is any bigger than You. By a word You spoke, and creation began. From Your fingers, You formed Adam and Eve. And when You breathed upon them, they became living souls. There is nothing that You can't do. You structured nature. There's nothing that You can do. Help us, Lord, to trust You more, to have more faith, so that we can be mature and complete and lack nothing to deal with this world that You have set us in this world where You want us to be light. Give us more faith, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Won't you stand, please, as we sing our closing hymn?